Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast, where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today's topic is the Alligator Man, otherwise known as Joseph D. Ball. He was an American serial killer in Texas back in the 1930s. And we'll get into that discussion momentarily, but before we do, let me introduce our panel. As always, I'm joined by the very lovely, very talented, and quite, how would you describe her, Colonel, in evil. A one word?
Evil.
Evil,
well,
Brandy.
Evil's fun. Evil's fun.
Brandy, how are you, Brandy?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Brandy, Brandy and I just went to Wendy's. I had a fine lunch and brought something back for our other panelist, who is well known in the overweight community. He is, he got a bacon burger, bacon cheeseburger.
I got a
today.
Junior bacon cheeseburger.
Bacon isn't a good thing for you, Colonel. You know, are you going to wait?
Now, listeners. Just so you know, the Colonel 5'10", about 205 pounds. Yeah. You're making it sound like I'm Santa Claus here.
Well, I'm just saying. Now, you're the one who's been talking about how heavy you are.
Because I picked up...
we're just ragging you
in an effort to in an effort to live forever, Timmy.
Yeah.
I you know, last year or whatnot, it was...
So well, you don't want to...
I quit smoking, and I replaced that addiction with a Twinkie addiction.
You don't want to be. You don't want to live forever. You don't want immortality through your work. You want it through not dying. That's basically what you're saying.
I want immortality by being bit by a really hot vampire with nice firm.
Okay. Yeah. So as you can tell, I'm also joined by the very talented, very honorable, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters. The third, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. So continue, Colonel. How are you feeling today? You feeling a little...
Today I'm feeling very good, Timmy. Okay. I got
all your calories in for the day?
No, I got 2,000 left to go. That was only 500 calories on a bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, that's a good deal.
If that, I don't even think, because it's a tiny little thing.
Yeah. I'm sure there were no more than 300 calories there.
Yeah, and all the kids are home.
Yeah, for the holidays.
For the holidays, that's trying at best.
Mm-hmm. But you got your family together. You got to be happy about that.
Well, none of them are talking to me right now.
Already?
Yeah, they're all... Well, Taylor did... Now, my son Taylor did talk to me, only to tell me that I may have overreacted to a situation just a tad.
I can't believe it.
Good
thing I was sitting down for that announcement.
And I was proud because my poor son, this happened to me once too, and he was at his job last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to give a lady instructions, and he became increasingly frustrated because she was not understanding the simplest of instructions.
Mm-hmm.
and only to realize 3 minutes into the conversation that he was having with the lady that she was deaf.
Oh. Oh, that
can be frustrating.
Yeah. And he can feel like you have egg on your face.
He did feel like he had egg on his face and had to apologize, but said, "Dad, they could have given me some kind of clue."
Well, yeah. That, you know, they should wear a sign or something.
Well, he said I would
have hearing
just,
aid.
He said it was a simple one-sentence answer. I would have just written it down had I known, but...
Well, we're glad that your kids are home, and everything okay with you, Mrs. Colonel?
I will have to check with Mrs. Colonel. She is not speaking to me.
Well, last time we talked, you said you were pleasuring her, so you think she'd be in a good mood.
She was in a good mood, but that all went to hell last night to me.
What did you do?
Okay, my son, the one who had yelled at the deaf person... he sends me a text and say, "Hey, I'm not coming home tonight. I'm going to spend the night at my friend's house." I tell his mama, and she's like, "You know what? His brother's at home. He needs to be home." And I said, "Well, okay, Renee, Miss Colonel, he's not going to be home till 10:30. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to be in bed. Mm-hmm. Tanner, he's going out with his sister. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to be home. Taylor's going to be home, but he got a 12-pack of beer down there, so he's going to be drunk.
Right.
So what you're saying is he shouldn't go hang out with his friends. He should come home to his drunken brother. That's what he should do."
So she didn't like that.
And she said, "Well, I guess you're going to make me the bad guy here." And I said, "Well, in fact, you are the bad guy here."
Nice.
But, so I started to commence texting him and telling him, "No, you must come home tonight."
Mm-hmm.
But she had some additional Christmas shopping to do because it doesn't matter what we bought the boys, she has a dollar limit in her head, and we have not yet reached that dollar limit. So we had to go out and buy them things,
additional things.
Rack up the thing.
Right.
And as I'm texting, she says, "Come on, we have to hurry." And I said, "I'm sending the text that you asked me to text."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, you can't walk and do that." And I said to her, "No, in fact, I cannot walk and do that. That is unsafe."
Mm-hmm.
Safety first.
Safety first. And she said, "Well, can you do it when we get in the car?" And I threw my hands up,
mm-hmm.
and I may have used a couple of curse words.
Okay.
And I said, "You can send this fucking text yourself, or you can send it your damn self, or you can let me do it. But you can't fucking sit here and tell me how to do the damn thing. Now, what do you want to do?"
Do you think that was a wise choice of words on your part?
And she said, and I looked at Taylor and I said, "See, do you see the shit I put up with every day? Every day I got people just badgering me like this, Taylor." And he said, "Dad, you might be overreacting a little bit." And I said,
"You may have a point, actually."
I said, "You know what? Shut your dumb ass up.
There it
Don't
is.
Don't you ever take sides against a colonel."
Yeah, man, you got the Christmas spirit, Colonel.
So it's a little tense. It's a little tense at Colonel House. So,
you're a knob.
So you can. It's good for you then. This is therapy for you. You can lose yourself in the story.
I don't really care that they're mad at me. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter to me. Okay. I've gotten to that point.
Well, you could officially apologize because you know they listen to the show.
Okay, to the Colonel family.
I apologize for being a knob.
To the Colonel family, I'm gonna go back to A Christmas Carol, my mm-hmm. favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, you know, little Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
When he's all happy, he mm-hmm. ain't got the cane no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part, where Tiny Tim says, "You know what? Fuck you. Fuck you, one and all." Okay?
I think
that's
you might be paraphrasing.
I don't remember that part.
I think you're paraphrasing Charles Dickens there. I don't remember him saying that.
Well, in my version of Tiny Tim, it's the Colonel family, fuck you one and all right? I'm Christmas shopping. I'm stressed. I'm trying to do the shit you want. I'm trying to spend all my money on your Christmas presents. And I get yelled at because I won't walk in Texas the same damn time.
Colonel, so this is Colonel out.
This is Colonel out.
All your money.
Okay, let's talk. Let's give some shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Jesse, some new listeners. Jesse, John O, and Jennifer K. Thank you for joining us. You got any shout outs, Colonel, real quick?
I got a shout out to Lady Beverly.
Yes, Lady Beverly, we're thinking about you over on this side of the pond.
Yes, we are. I got a shout out to Tara. Tara, get off my damn back about the YouTube channel, all right?
Keep at it, Tara. Don't let him.
Tara, you know what? I'm going to start sending you some mean Twitters, some mean tweets.
Brandy, by the way, Brandy's Twitter is broke.
My Twitter is broke.
Brandy can't twat no more. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, the other day I'm telling her that, you know, that we got some nice comments on Twitter to please go check them out. And she says, I can't see them. My Twitter is broke.
My Twitter broke.
I did not say that.
You did say my Twitter
I did
broke.
Not say
I
that.
I believe you did.
I said I cannot see them. That's where that sentence ended. I did not say my Twitter is broke. I'm not a fucking idiot.
Okay. So,
boy, everyone is a little.
You seem a little angry today, Brandy.
I'm not a fucking idiot.
Okay, you're not an idiot.
Just because you can't help it, your Twitter is broken.
Your Twitter broken.
Okay, my Twitter is not
maybe
broken.
You got now. That's a nice phone case you got there, Devil.
And you know what? No one's fascinated by it.
Oh, it is kind of cool.
It's shiny.
Yeah, it is shiny.
It's like
so I can just do this podcast. Here, I'm gonna send this out for you guys. I'm just gonna do it by myself.
So okay. Tara, get off my damn back. All right.
Keep it up, Tara.
Thunderstorms.
I'm gonna get the YouTube channel done by the first of the year.
Uh-huh. And when are you gonna send Brittany Lynn her damn 8x10?
Your 8x10 is at the I gotta pick it up and it will be mailed to you first class mail.
From a first class guy.
From a first class guy.
Can you send anything other than first class?
I don't know. I don't know how many forever stamps it takes. I don't know. I will put do not fold on the envelope. Speaking of which, remind me to steal one of our work envelopes so I can
mail
it in there. And I can.
So if you see our business name on there and it's scratched out,
it'll be
right behind you.
Because we're nothing but professional here.
Right. Any other shout outs before we move on to the story?
Let's see. Who else listens to
I want
to
shout out to my aunt, Beverly, because she listens to some of the podcasts.
Oh.
And she is awesome.
Beverly, thank you for listening.
She's awesome.
Okay, she probably likes me. I'm probably her favorite.
I think that's probably true.
Okay, let's get on to the story, shall we?
Well, I think we should. I think we rambled on long enough.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to stay on point.
Well, Brandy gets off. She gets defensive about when her Twitter breaks down.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Alligator Man. As I mentioned before, that title was given to Joseph D. Ball.
D-Ball,
who was a serial killer in Texas in the 1930s. He was also known as the Butcher of Elmendorf. I would go with Alligator Man if I had to choose the two.
I think so, too.
Alligator Man's like the coolest nickname except for Hawk ever.
Yeah, but Butcher of Elmendorf, I'm not feeling it. So anyway, he is known to have killed at least two and is said to have killed as many as 20 women back in the 1930s. Joseph D. Ball.
A quick question.
Yeah.
We talked about it because we talk about serial killers a lot. We do talk about Colonel Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they just get these serial killers in a room and beat the hell out of them and say, how many people did you kill? I'm tired of saying he killed two, maybe 15.
Yeah. I think they exaggerate a lot of the time.
They get a car battery.
Two, maybe 15.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when, you know, they arrest someone with like two joints and they'll say they got, you know, 2 pounds of marijuana on someone. I think it's just, you know, it's embellishing. But
well, it's like I have 15 brownies and I say maybe I had two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like having a junior bacon cheeseburger and saying you only have 300 calories.
I just want to know how many they kill.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times, you know, they can't, you know, it's too expensive to prosecute them for 50 people, so they prosecute him for the ones that they got the strongest evidence on.
Well, that's true.
So anyway, Joseph D. Ball was born on January 5th, 1896, and that would mean his mother would have been pregnant during the holidays of that year.
Possibly.
Just finding that.
Makes for an ugly holiday.
Yeah, January 5th, 1896, in Elmendorf, Texas. It's a small town of just 17 miles southeast of San Antonio. Joe was one of eight children of a pretty well-to-do family in the area. They were well-respected, and they were kind of community leaders in Elmendorf. I don't know what kind of bragging rights you get for being a community leader in Elmendorf, but I mean...
Well, he might have been head of the Rotary or something.
Maybe. So, his father was wealthy. He was buying and selling farms and kind of made some pretty good money picking up property during the Depression. He opened up a general store, and he sold everything from caskets to shoes. He built the first stone home in the area for him and his wife, Elizabeth, who had 8 children. Many of them would become pillars of the community. Not so for young Joseph, who becomes a pillar of the community in some sense, but not in a positive sense. Frank Jr. Became a school trustee in 1914. His brother Raymond opened up another grocery store and a post office. His wife Jane was a postmaster. So they had some. His brothers and sisters, were pretty successful. Joe was expected to follow his father in the family business, included growing cotton, but he instead joined the army. He went and joined the army in 1919, and saw action in Europe during the First World War. When he got back, he was not interested in pursuing a career in cotton. Instead, he got interested in drinking, got into the whole jazz scene, and started. This was the time when Prohibition first went into effect, and he started bootlegging, selling illegal liquor. So even though he didn't follow in his father's footsteps selling cotton, he had some business sense about him, and he started selling gin, whiskey, and beer, homemade products. He became well known as a bootlegger and a gambler, and he had quite the reputation of being a ladies' man. He's got the wang.
He does have the wang.
Got the wang. When Prohibition ended in 1933, of course, that put a cramp in the bootlegging business. So Ball opened up a little bar, a little nightclub, called the Sociable Inn. Sounds like a nice little place, where people could drink, dance, and gamble on card games to all hours.
I would have named it the Dew Drop Inn.
Yeah, there's one of them in like every little town, isn't there? In the back, there were 2 bedrooms, and the bar was up front. A piano player.
Poker in the back.
They had a player piano.
Yes.
They had a player piano. They had a room with tables for card playing, where men drank and played cards. That makes sense. And sometimes they hosted cockfights. Don't say a word, Colonel.
Wang.
Wang. Which is appropriate with the new Star Wars movie coming out.
All right.
Stop talking.
Don't spoil it for us.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just saying, in a way, don't you think that the lightsaber is
an extension of the Wang?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Wang.
They're really just having cockfights there.
What we're going to do now is quit talking about Star Wars because some of us haven't seen
it. Yes, and you're going to be kidding.
You haven't seen Star Wars yet?
No.
Not yet.
I saw it in 75, but we haven't seen the latest one.
Damn.
Okay, so
do people ever leave the house?
At some point,
my children.
Not when I can help it, or really don't. At some point, he decided he was going to attract people to the Sociable Inn by having a little gimmick. And what he did was he opened in back of the bar. He created a little concrete pool back of the tavern, strung some wire around it. And he filled the pool with live alligators.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and kind of a way to attract new customers.
Ain't nothing bring customers in than live gators.
Yeah, you're right. It was a lively saloon, the Sociable Inn, and had pretty waitresses with free-flowing whiskey.
Ooh-wee.
Now, and it really things started perking up once they got the live alligators in the back.
I bet.
Things do.
Yeah. Alligators tend to perk up a party.
Yeah, a lot of people were attracted to his bar just to watch the alligators. Now, on a Saturday night, it was rumored that people would come in and they would toss stray puppies, kittens, and other small features into the alligator pit to watch the alligators eat the small animals. So either, depending on who you ask, Joe Ball was either a jerk or a kind-hearted good Samaritan. In the mid-1920s, he hired a young man to help him, a young black man named Clifton Wheeler, to help around the house and around the business. Wheeler was a handyman. I don't know if he was a Gandhi dancer, but he was a handyman. So he did a lot of Ball's manual labor and dirty work, as we'll talk about later on. Now, according to a lot of people, now, some people say that Ball really liked Clifton Wheeler, and he, you know, he kind of helped him out wherever he could. But others said, you know, that Wheeler was really afraid of Ball. And it's been said that Ball would shoot at Wheeler's feet, live ammo at his feet, to make him do the jitterbug.
Oh, well, yeah, that'll work. Mm-hmm.
You talk your, what did you say, Colonel?
I taught my kids how to dance with a nail gun.
Okay, so again, according to who you talked to, Ball was either a nice guy and treated Wheeler well, or he was a jerk and he shot at his feet and made him do the jitterbug. As expected, Ball's nephew years later would say that his father or his uncle was very kind-hearted. But again, you know, he said that he would help. There was a young Mexican couple that lived nearby, and his father would, or the, his uncle would take them food and things to help him get through hard times. So, yeah, it depends on you who you asked. He was either a good guy or he was a jerk. Maybe he was both.
Well, there's a duality in all of us, Timmy.
Yeah, I guess. In any event.
That was a very profound statement. You just say, I guess.
Yeah, well. In any event, business was booming at the Sociable Inn. And so was Ball's love life. I said he was a ladies man.
Ladies man.
And he had a big wang.
With a wang.
Did you say that?
Well, I'm assuming if he's a ladies man.
Well, to be a ladies man, you got to have a big wang.
You
got to
have a fair size wang.
Yeah.
You can't have a.
You can't have an inferior wang.
No, I know you can't. No. And be a ladies man.
No,
if it's too inferior, you become a lady.
Yeah,
but not a ladies man.
Hmm.
Okay. So anyway, his love life was booming because there was a lot of pretty young waitresses that keep going. You know, kept coming, showing up to apply for jobs at the Sociable Inn, and Mr. Ball, he took advantage of that. The first one he became involved with was Big Minnie Gahart.
Big Minnie.
Big Minnie? Is that like Big Tiny?
Big Minnie. She was a tough-talking barmaid he had known for 3 years.
I bet she has some big old hooters on
her. I don't know. But then a couple of younger models came. Dolores Goodwin, who was 26, and Hazel Brown, 22. And that's when the shenanigans start.
Oh-wee.
Shenanigans.
Once you get barmaids involved, yeah. Shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you got big wine. Fighting over the same wine.
And this reminds me of a quick joke. A quick one.
All right.
Quick joke. You know, mushroom. I like mushrooms. And a mushroom is basically a fungi.
Yeah.
Okay? So you call mushroom a fungi. Now, what do you call mushroom devil with a 10-inch stem on it? A fungi to be around.
Okay.
Spectacular.
Oh, I like that one.
Okay. Brandy, tell us about the shenanigans that started to occur when Joseph Ball, the alligator man, and his wang got involved with these young waitresses.
Well, when you was a barmaid, was there a lot of shenanigans going on, Devil?
So in the mid-1930s, Joe Ball developed relationships with at least three waitresses.
Never a good idea.
Never. Not when they work together. No. You got to go to different bars.
Because we talk.
Yeah, and they all want the same wang.
And you got to go to different bars in different parts of the city.
And use a different wang.
And use a different... Well, you got to use the same wang.
So there were Big Minnie.
Big Minnie. Yeah, Big Minnie.
Dolores Buddy Goodwin.
Mm-hmm.
And a waitress by the name of Hazel Brown, but she also went by the name of Shotzi.
Okay, so we have
Big Minnie, Buddy,
and Shotzi.
See, I would not want to come
home. And it could be pronounced Shatzi.
I would not want to come. Who goes around and says to their friends, "Oh, I really laid it to Buddy last night."
Or call me Shatzi.
I gave a good to Shatzi. And people think you. Chassis sounds like a little, one of those little terrier things.
Chassis sounds like something you do when you don't have time to get your pants down.
I gave it right. to Chassis. Chassis.
Okay, so Big Minnie, Buddy, and so Chassis.
It was in 1934 when he met Big Minnie.
Yeah.
She was described as a bossy, displeasing, and obnoxious person.
Say that again.
Bossy, displeasing, and obnoxious, you say?
I want you to meet Big Minnie.
I want you. Bossy, obnoxious, and displeasing? Is that what you said?
She said she was a code 12.
Yeah, hold on.
Does that ring a bell with you, Timmy?
You heard what I said.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it's faintly familiar. Okay, continue, Minnie.
What, how did they describe her again?
Yeah.
They described her as go fuck yourselves.
Okay, so.
But Joe liked her.
Yeah, what's not to like?
About the boobs, really.
She ran the bar with him and Wheeler, and she did not fear the drunks.
She didn't take no shit.
Yeah, she probably walked around.
You don't
with
want
the
Big Minnie after your ass.
No, well, somebody did.
Yeah.
So at some point, Ball began seeing Buddy, who was 15 years his junior.
Ain't no
she
wrong.
Fell oh, in
hold
love
on,
with him.
Hold on. Could you repeat that one? Was 15 years his junior.
Junior.
Does that ring a bell with anybody?
Who could it be?
Yeah.
Move on.
It's like, meet Joe Ball.
It's like I'm doing a fucking podcast with the characters in it.
She fell in love with him even after one night in the spring of 37 when he threw a ball and hit her, or a bottle and hit her in the face, giving her a scar that ran from her eye to her neck. Jesus!
It was an accident.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, she probably provoked him.
I know. Then Shotzi started working at the bar.
She was
also young.
You can't put her and Big Minnie together.
Only 22.
Ooh, yeah. Now we're talking Timmy language.
And she was very popular with the customers.
I would guess so.
I bet she was.
Since they were both from McCade, Texas, Shotzi and Buddy became good friends.
So she was buddies with Buddy.
Big Minnie didn't like Buddy.
And Big Minnie didn't like Buddy.
And she wasn't afraid to show it.
But Chachi liked Buddy. And Buddy liked Chachi.
Joni loved Chachi, yes. All of that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so Big Minnie wasn't afraid to show that she did not like Buddy.
No, she didn't like Buddy because Joseph Ball was banging Buddy.
So in the summer of 37...
They were banging buddies.
Banging him Buddy with his wang. Big wang.
Are we done? Are we ready?
I'm trying
to paint a picture.
Yeah. He's
trying to recap on a sentence I just read.
Verbatim. I was recapping verbatim.
Big Manny didn't like Buddy.
Clearly. I bet they didn't forget that.
And she was obnoxious to start with.
Yeah, I know. Right, and disagreeable.
Yeah. So in the summer of 37, though, Big Manny disappeared. And Ball started telling people that she had been pregnant. And she was in a Corpus Christi hospital.
She was in the Crispy Hospital.
God, you guys.
That's a burn center.
Yeah.
You ain't right.
Wheeler heard Ball tell someone that she was going to have a black baby.
Yeah, actually, they used a different word. I just added it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, she must have skipped town in a hurry because she had left all her clothes behind.
Yeah, if you're going to go out of town to have a baby, you'd probably take your clothes with you, wouldn't you?
I would think so.
You would think.
Yeah.
So in September, Ball married Buddy.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And he revealed to her his secret, that he'd taken Big Minnie to the beach and killed her, because evidently that's where you slaughter whales.
Yeah, so he confided in Buddy that he whacked Big Minnie.
He did. He whacked Big Minnie. She wouldn't make any more trouble for them.
Apparently not.
She was no longer obnoxious.
Buddy told Shotzi about Minnie's demise.
See, that's not
she
smart.
She had to tell her a couple of times, so evidently Shotzi's not real bright.
Well, you tell her because that relationship you know is going to last forever.
Yeah.
So what you telling me here?
Evidently, Shotzi's like going on 51st dates. So in January of 1938, what the hell?
No, but he told Buddy, Buddy told Shotzi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like telephone tag.
Yeah, it was like telephone tag.
Okay. Did I say that before?
Okay.
I don't really pay attention.
Needed the recap?
I'm reading something else.
Okay, go ahead.
In January of 1938, Buddy's left arm was cut off.
Shit happens.
So she became righty.
Yes, he's lefty now. We call.
And stories flew around Elmendorf that Ball's crazed alligators had torn it off, or that Ball had cut it off and fed it to them.
Well,
in fact, Buddy had lost the arm in a car wreck.
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable, because you really, I mean, what's good is you want your significant other to have two hands.
Now this is very pertinent to this story, Timmy. Very pertinent.
Okay.
The Colonel, his first job out of college was as a collector for a rent-to-own company.
Okay.
Now, my area of town that I had was Newport and Covington.
In Kentucky,
which a lot of the strip bars are there.
Seedier town.
Seedier. And a lot of these dancers at the strip bars are not the hard women, Timmy. They're not what you picture.
You don't have to tell me.
So what the Colonel would do, I had a good strategy, is I would catch him on Saturday morning. Because they'd always be home at early Saturday morning because they'd work late Friday night.
Right.
So you knock on their door, you say, hey, I need my $9.99 this week for the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be all in good shape. So I got a new one. I opened the door, Timmy, and this vision of beauty just opened the door. She was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And something in my head she's obviously just got out of bed. She's got this T-shirt that must have been 100 years old. It was so thin, you could see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
She was built very, very nicely. She had ample bosoms.
Mm-hmm.
And the Colonel was hypnotized by these bosoms. Mm-hmm. She had blonde hair, girl, very, mm-hmm. very, very, very beautiful. And but something in my head saying, danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will right. Robinson. Because something ain't registering right in my head. And I can't figure it out. And it takes me about 5 seconds to realize and look down that she only got a stub where her right arm used to be.
Okay.
So, you know, I say, hey, I got to collect for my VCR, my $7.95. She gives me money. And curiosity got the best of the Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I know it's rude, but I got to ask. What happened to y'all? And she said, I was raised in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they have aqueducts down there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I was a little girl, and I was playing in the aqueduct, and an alligator grabbed me and started to pull me away. I was about 5 years old. And my daddy was there, and my daddy grabbed me and fought the alligator for me, you know, to get me back from the alligator. But unfortunately, the alligator did so much damage to my arm that they had to remove it. But that's a true story. This barmaid or dancer lost an arm to an alligator.
Hmm. Okay. And that sounds like what happened here is that this one lost her arm in a car wreck, but the rumor was, Brandy, that she lost it, that the alligator ate it, right? One of the alligators ate it.
Well, she was in this wreck. 4 months later, Buddy disappeared.
Okay, now she's disappeared.
So by then, Joe starts seeing Shotzi. Or Shatzi, or whatever you want to call
her. Well, that's the only one left. By default, he's seeing Shatzi.
So, yeah. Right.
And it seems to me she would get a clue.
Shortly after that, Shatzi disappeared.
Wow.
Who's serving the some bitches drinks in the bar?
Yeah, well, it was a... Well, I think there were some more missing.
Who was the guy? When there another guy that worked at the bar?
Clifton Wheeler, you mean?
Wheeler, yes.
Wheeler serving drinks? That some bitch running around like a one-armed paper hanger.
Well, as long as he doesn't let him stick his wang in him, I think he's safe.
He has to jitterbug every once in a while.
Yeah. So on September 23rd, 1938, an old Mexican-American man approached Bexar County Sheriff's Deputy John Gray, who was dove hunting in Elmendorf, and told him about the foul-smelling barrel covered in flies that Joe Ball had left behind his sister's barn. It smelled, he said, like something dead was inside. Enough women in Ball's world had disappeared that the next day, Gray, not even that day, because, you know, he's dove hunting.
Well, he's got things to do.
So the next day, Gray and Deputy John Klevenhagen.
John Klugenheim and Jim Klevenhagen. Schmidt?
Klevenhagen.
His name is my name, too.
Yeah. Drove out to talk to him. Klevenhagen, who had later become a Texas Ranger.
I love...
And shortened his name to Walker.
Yeah, he did.
I love how you emphasize that word.
Klevenhagen.
Because I can say it.
Texas Ranger. It just didn't fit. It didn't sound good on the TV screen.
Well, this guy was a hunting buddy of Ball's. Mm-hmm.
She said Ball's.
Was a pretty good shot. They went to the barn, but the stinky barrel was gone. So they drove to the bar about noon and talked to Ball, who denied knowing anything about it.
Don't know what you're talking about.
But then when they returned to the barn, his sister corroborated the old man's story. That was enough for deputies, who told Ball that they were taking him to San Antonio for questioning. Ball asked if he could first be allowed to have a beer and close down his place.
Well, that's fair.
Only in Texas.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fair enough, though.
The sheriffs agreed, and the trio returned to the bar. Ball got a beer, took a few steps, went to his register, opened it, and pulled out a .45 from under the counter.
Uh-oh, what did he do?
That seemed rude.
I'm building suspense. I need to...
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Parched. He hit the no-sale thing on his cash register.
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't put that in the script, but he went to the cash register, and he hit... No sale.
I don't know how that propels the story forward. The fucking thing opened, he got a gun. I don't give a shit if he typed in 995.
Yeah. But he was going to be short.
It doesn't friggin' matter. Well, there's that. Okay.
No sale.
So he waved the gun at Gray and Klevenhagen, who yelled, "Don't!" and went for his own... Don't!
Don't you do it.
And went for his own pistol. Just as Ball turned and pointed it at his heart, he pulled the trigger and fell dead on the barroom floor. Four other deputies, including, I don't even know where this guy came from, Jude, C-U-D-E, how would you say that?
Cootie. Yeah.
Who the hell's that guy?
Cootie.
Where did he come from?
It's Mr. Cootie.
The swarm included Cood. Yeah. I don't know who Cood is, because some of this writing is just inconsistent.
He was a deputy.
Well, he's not the sheriff.
All right,
so they checked the five gators. There was one large and four small that were in the pond, and they were surrounded by rotting meat. They found an axe matted with blood and hair. Their first theory was the obvious one, that the fearsome drunk had killed and mutilated his wife and other victims and fed them to the alligators. The cops talked about other disappearances, including two missing barmaids and a 16-year-old boy who'd hung out at Joe's. Perhaps the Saturday night feeding frenzies had just been a cover for Sunday night murders.
Dun, 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 dun.
So what happens next?
Well, Clifton Wheeler gets grabbed by the sheriffs in San Antonio.
Did Klevenhagen grab him?
No.
This is Clifton Wheeler, the black guy that worked for Joseph Ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got taken by the sheriff, and he was taken to San Antonio, and he just spilled his guts. He spilled the beans. Shotzi, apparently, the little two-timing whore, she fallen for someone else. One of the bar customers, a guy with a home and a good job. So Shotzi didn't want no more balls.
So she didn't want the wang anymore.
Nope, she wanted out, but Ball would not hear of it. He threatened to go to the police and tell Big Minnie he killed her.
Oh, so she's saying...
When she threatened to tell the police about Big Minnie, because she knew, killed her.
He didn't recap that shit when you messed it up. Yeah. He didn't recap that. So, but I can read a single sentence that gets recapped.
So because he knows I'm going to go correct myself.
Yeah.
So now the handyman, Clifton Wheeler, knew exactly where Shotzi was. He took the sheriffs back to Elmendorf, about 3 miles from town, on a bluff some 300 feet from the San Antone River.
Mm-hmm.
By the light of a campfire, he began to dig. Now, blood bubbled
up. Why would they make him dig?
Well, who else should dig?
Well,
it's true.
I don't think you should make that guy dig.
They started shooting at his feet and telling him, dig, dig, dig. So he started digging.
All right.
Now, just like, it wasn't like the Beverly Hillbillies. Mm. He didn't hit black gold in Texas tea. But blood bubbled up in the dirt.
Ugh. There he goes.
And the odor just become unbearable. Wheeler pulled up two arms and two legs and finally a torso.
There it is.
Yeah. The men all vomited. They did. They said, hell with it. But Wheeler asked...
You need to find a different line of work. You know, if you're
they was weak stomached.
Yeah.
They was weak stomached. So they asked Wheeler where the hell the head is. So he points to another campfire. So after they sift through the campfire, they find a jawbone, some teeth, and some
pizza. Wheeler's knowing all this stuff.
Yeah, Wheeler knows everything that's gone.
Jesus,
so he said after a night of heavy drinking, Paul asked him to load up the car with blankets and beer, and Joe had a saw, an axe, and a post hole digger with him, and a pistol. They went into his sister's barn, stopping to have a couple drinks. They was all liquored up at the time, and picked up the fetid 55-gallon iron barrel, which you know was heavy.
Oh yeah.
Which they took to the river.
I bet Joseph Ball didn't carry that. I bet Wheeler had to carry the damn thing.
I bet they both had,
He had to bury the broads, and he had to dig them up.
Yeah. So yeah, Ball then forced Wheeler at gunpoint to dig a grave. Then they opened up the
guy, barrel. Man. He needs to find another job.
He has Stockholm Syndrome.
I guess.
I mean,
I think he might.
So anyway, now Wheeler, he was drawing the line at this member in the corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. There's some things he won't do.
But he got so enraged when one of the hands got in the way of sawing off her head, that Wheeler finally just reached over because she had to rigor mortis. She was all up in her bar. So Wheeler finally did help. And each of these two candy asses threw up. And then they drank some more beer, just like good drunks will.
Well, because you throw up, drink more. That's right. Yeah.
But then they threw the head on a campfire. So as dawn broke, they just sat around, drank some more beer.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, what else can you do? Work is done. End of the day.
Yeah, so that solved Big Minnie. Okay. The mystery of Big Minnie was solved.
Okay, Big Minnie.
She couldn't have been too damn big if she fit in a 55-gallon drum.
Well,
you know? Yeah. Maybe she was a short woman and they pushed real hard. I don't know. But anyway, the previous June, Ball told Wheeler to pack up the Model A coupe.
I wonder if she was really pregnant. I don't know if we know that.
It doesn't say.
Yeah, I don't know.
And be sure to stow plenty of whiskey and beer. Then he took Minnie and Wheeler to Ingleside near Corpus Christi. Ball found a secluded area, and after a little swimming and a lot of drinking, he asked the doomed Minnie to take her clothes off.
Because
Minnie only looked good if you had a lot of whiskey in you.
Yeah.
And especially with her clothes off, you needed some more tequila.
Right.
Now, Wheeler, he's like, oh, no, Minnie...
She was a handsome woman.
Minnie gonna take her clothes off? I'm getting the hell out of here. So he makes himself scarce. But when Ball calls for some more whiskey, Wheeler notices that Boss had a pistol by his side. Ball pointed off in the distance, and when Minnie turned her head to look, he shot her right in the temple.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was a back shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeler was like, what the fuck you doing? But Ball told him he had no choice. She was pregnant and was seeing Buddy. And he was seeing Buddy. And Wheeler's like, oh, well, that makes sense. Let's just bury her in the sand and drive back.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they did. So they questioned Wheeler about the other women. They found a bunch of letters, a scrapbook with photos of dozens of women in it.
Mm. Yeah, he had a lot of women come
some
through.
Some of them
there.
Nudies, too.
Well.
And
did they have their little nipples blocked out like he did in his old.
No, these were. This was.
Magazine?
This was vintage porn.
Okay.
Well, the. Deputy Sheriff J.W. Devers said this might lead to the discovery of one of a dozen more murders. Now, the San Antonio papers wrote about the disappearance of more than a dozen barmaids, including Stella, who also had a fight about Big Minnie. Yes, Stella. The sheriffs had this theory that Ball was dealing narcotics. Yeah, and it would have been a simple matter to put the dope in bottles and store it in the gator's lair. They that drained the pool.
Probably would be a good idea.
Yeah, they drained the gator's pool but found no drugs. Now, 3 days after Ball's suicide, police began digging in the sand 4 miles on the tip, 4 miles southeast of Ingleside. They took heavy machinery, hired some laborers, and people with nothing to do just would sit around and watch, see what they came up with. So anyway, a local merchant, he set up a stand selling drinks. And the crowds, they were getting all excitement. Rumors was all around. Finally, on October 14th, they found the remains of Big Minnie, which I got to clarify, the first murder was Shotzi.
Right, that's the first...
We talked about that he shot, whatever, yeah, that was Shotzi.
That's the first one that they dug up was Shotzi.
Yeah, it was Shotzi.
And then the second one, this
Shotzi
one...
Shotzi was in the bucket, yeah, in the 55-gallon drum.
That makes sense, because Big Minnie probably wouldn't fit.
That's what I said. How Big Minnie going to fit in a 55-gallon drum? Right. But that was Shotzi.
Okay. So Shotzi and now
Minnie was buried in the sand. So they finally, after digging up everything, they found Big Minnie. Okay. In the sand.
All right.
Now we just got to figure out where the hell Buddy is.
Yeah. Okay. So we got Shatsy's body's been recovered. Big Minnie's body's been recovered, but none of them had been eaten by the alligators.
No, they just been killed. Okay. No alligators. Now Buddy's disappearance had a happier ending.
Oh, good. Did she get another arm?
Well, she didn't get another arm, but she was living in San Diego, where she had fled from her husband and gone to be with her sister. The two weeks later, Klevenhagen and Gray brought her to San Antonio.
Okay.
On the way, they stopped in Phoenix and found one of the women listed as missing from the tavern. So she wasn't dead either.
Okay.
Buddy said that Wheeler had told her that on her last night on Earth, Shotzi, who didn't know Buddy was in San Diego, had accused Ball of killing her. Just as she had killed Big Minnie, Shotzi badgered Ball until he flew into a rage. After a while, said Buddy, Joe hit her right in the head with a pistol, and I reckon that killed her. He shot her, too.
Well, I wonder how she knew that, though.
That's a good question. Yeah. Or maybe she was there for it.
Or maybe and then she got the hell out of Dodge. Yeah.
And now, after this is all over, you still got 5 gators running around.
Right.
They was given to the San Antonio Zoo.
Okay.
Now, Clifton Wheeler, he got 2 years in jail as a accessory.
Okay.
He got out, opened his own bar in town, but soon left and was never heard from again. And Joe Ball's legend just bloomed. And, you know, just back when they had the Pulp Press magazine, True Detective.
True Detective magazines.
That was the monthly Bible of sordid true crime. And they found this story irresistible, would not let it go. They bring it back all the time, talking about throwing the kittens and the puppies to the alligators, and alligators starve for human flesh and whatnot. And Hungry Gators, you know, they sell magazines.
Mm-hmm.
They sell magazines.
Yeah.
Just like Ball used them to sell beer, they sell magazines.
Sure. So you're saying then that the legend of him feeding the victims to the alligators is just embellished?
It was embellished because of the rotten meat, and because this old True Detective,
right,
had to make it up,
sensationalize it.
Yeah, there were all kinds of tales. One was told about an old man who stumbled onto Ball pitching a woman's body into the pool, and according to local lore, Ball threatened the man into leaving town, where he fled to California and returned only after Ball was dead. None of this stuff was true. There were no human remains found in the alligator pond, but that did not
mean...
The alligator pound.
Because you can't put them in with the dogs and the cats.
Well, you know...
It's now, carnage. Folks,
listen. If you're going to get an alligator, don't go to one of those alligator breeders. Alligator puppy mills.
Uh-huh.
Go to the alligator pound. Get you a rescue, okay? Right.
A rescue gator.
Yeah, get you a rescue gator. They're the best kind. I got my Rudy from rescue.
Right.
And Rudy hung out with the alligators for a little while.
Rudy's
got him under control. So even though Wheeler, Wheeler was the only eyewitness to all this, he never said anything about the alligators. But that didn't know he didn't mean you know when yeah. to keep his mouth shut. So.
Yeah, it sounds like it became part of the legend of this guy.
It was a big legend. And with Paul, it was easy to believe the worst, and it still is. You take a violent, sadistic drunk known for throwing stray pets to his alligators and a one-armed missing wife, one hacked-up girlfriend and another buried in the sand, and yeah. how many stray women coming and
going? Yeah, it wouldn't be a stretch to believe it, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, these are the facts.
Right.
One violent, sadistic drunk known for throwing stray pets into...
Right.
Into alligators. Again, ring a bell, devil. A one-armed missing wife. I ain't ever had no missing wife or one-armed wife or a hacked-up girlfriend. Mm. The colonel too lazy to bury somebody in the... Although, no, I shouldn't say that. When we went to Florida one time...
Be careful.
No, I buried all the boys in the sand.
Oh, I was going to say.
Just up to the heads,
be careful what you say, you know.
Yeah, no, I buried all... The boys like being buried in the sand with the heads.
Just be careful what to say without an attorney present.
Yeah. So, but Wheeler... but now, Buddy tried to set the record straight. Buddy said Joe never put no people in that alligator tank. Joe wouldn't do a thing like that. He was no horrible monster. Joe was a sweet, kind, good man.
He was just telling
you. He never hurt anybody unless he was driven to it. Of course, you know, he caused me to run away to San Diego, and I got the hell out of there. But
if he tells you to look at the moon,
yeah,
he's going to put a cap in your ass.
Right.
So, now, when they asked about the scar on her face, he said, oh, he didn't even mean to cut me. He was throwing the bottle at another guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sounds
kind
like
of guy, is he?
Heads up. He's
now,
a good guy.
Joe's nephew, Bucky Ball.
There it is.
Had his uncle's World War II portrait and 48 star flag given to the family after his death. He got that.
World War One.
Right? Or World War One. I'm sorry. He keeps him in a glass case in his living room. The 24-year-old Vietnam veteran goes to counseling at Brooke Army Medical Center at Fort Sam Houston and thinks his uncle's experience in the war had something to do with his actions afterwards. He believed he had the shell shock, got all crazy, got mean.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be surprising because they didn't have any type of treatment for those guys back in the day.
Yeah, so... And there was no treatment during the Depression, and Joe Ball probably wouldn't have taken it anyway. He didn't seem like the type to talk about his feelings. When he got a little bit angry, he just threw a puppy into the pond.
Hey, right.
You know, and I believe everybody should have an alligator pond.
Right.
Because, you know what, think about this, Timmy. Think about what's wrong with our country.
We don't have enough alligators.
If every parent, because what's wrong with the country today is the kids are out of control.
Right.
Timmy. If every parent could dangle their kid.
Over the alligator pit.
You ain't going to eat your broccoli, you little son of a bitch. You want to go in with the alligators?
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat my broccoli, daddy. I'll eat my broccoli. Don't drop me in an alligator pit. You got a kid listening. You got a kid eating his broccoli. Your homework ain't done, you little bastard. You're going to finish your homework. You're going to do your spelling. I do my spelling, Daddy. Don't drop me in the alligator pit. Then there you go.
You make a lot of sense, Colonel. So is that
the Colonel's? Yes, let's take parenting tips from this dipshit over
the
here.
Colonel's,
where nobody in his house is talking to him right now.
The Colonel's school for raising obedient children.
Yeah.
Everybody should have at least two hungry gators.
It couldn't hurt anyway.
How could it hurt?
Yeah. Wait, anything else on this story, Colonel, before we wrap it up?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I believe Wheeler was a victim here.
So you really don't believe that Joseph Ball fed his victims to alligators? You think that he just got that reputation as a legend?
I believe the first time you bang somebody who their nickname, the first word of it is big.
Uh-huh.
You ain't got none but trouble.
Yeah.
You ain't got none but trouble.
When you start banging someone with one arm.
Well, you know what? I always wondered about that now. But that, you know, because I, well, you never mind.
Okay.
But think about this.
Make a reach around and be a bitch.
Well, yeah, it'd have to be a one-handed reach around. And they might lose balance. They're liable to fall backwards and yank your wang right off of you.
Yeah. It's dangerous stuff.
Well, you can't tangle with them.
No.
You know what I mean? It's. I mean, it just. You can't, like, you're at King's Island, you're on the roller coaster, and you throw one hand up in there. I mean, it's not even like...
Well, you become unbalanced.
Huh?
You become unbalanced.
Well, and the problem is you use your arms for balance quite a bit.
I mean, you really use
for balance. Yeah. And the person falling down on you all the time, they're wanting to hold your hand all the time to keep that balance. Yeah. Not because they're being affectionate to you, just because they're tired of stumbling.
Right.
But... The only thing I can really take away from this story is to give my listeners some advice. Men listeners here, listen up. If a woman got a big in front of her name, leave her alone.
If just she's got leave one her arm, alone. If she's got one arm.
Well, even a one arm you can deal with. That that causes some problem. But Big Lucy, Big Minnie, Big Betty.
Big Bertha.
Big, Big Bertha. Big, here's what you're going to get, okay? Yeah, you might be a boob man, and you might not care about the rest of the package, and she might have some double Fs on her, and you're thinking, oh, look what I got to play with all the time. It ain't worth the price of admission, listeners. You ain't going to get none but hell.
They're going to be
obnoxious, disagreeable, and what was that other word?
Cantankerous.
Cantankerous, yeah. So just because they got the big old fun bags, don't make them a bag of fun.
Brandy, do you have any final thoughts on the Colonel's advice or this podcast or life in general?
Do not take the Colonel's advice. That is my life in general statement.
Do you take parenting tips from the Colonel?
No.
No. You do not.
No.
Hold on. You're telling me. Now I know you got a 17-year-old. Is he a 17-year-old yet?
He's 16.
A 16-year-old boy.
And a 4-year-old.
You got a 16-year-old boy. I've had 3 boys.
Yeah.
You telling me that there ain't times you don't wish you had an alligator pit that you could hold him out over?
I do.
Right now is one of those times.
Yeah, I do wish that.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Brandy? Where can people find us?
You can find us on the Facebook.
We're on the Facebook.
On the iTunes.
We're on the iTunes.
On the Stitcher.
The Stitcher.
On the Libsyn. And not on the YouTube yet, because there are people that are sorry ass and have not put video upload, blah, 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 blah,
on YouTube. So when I come back from my vacation, you're going to have...
Wait, now, your vacation next week?
No, it's the second half of January.
Because we got a Jimmy Fallon engagement. Don't forget, we're booked on it. You can see us on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah, that's not it.
That's not true. You forgot to mention the Twitter, and I understand why you left that out.
She got the broken twat.
Because her Twitter's broken.
Her Twitter broke.
Okay, that'll do it for this time. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye. Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.